This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
It's the one option we haven't looked at a whole lot. Could the Browns possibly trade for a quarterback? Today's Let's Find Us a Quarterback just did it. Malik Willis, now with the Green Bay Packers, under contract for one more year. Reason we even threw him in? A couple of stories out there about the Steelers maybe trading for Malik Willis. About the Jets maybe trading for Malik Willis. He was a third-round draft choice. Green Bay got him for a seventh. What do you think it would cost to get him? What
Not
do you think
much.
Green Bay would take? A fourth?
I think so.
Third?
I mean, you
would a
you
fifth offered, get it done? I don't think a fifth would get it done.
You offered me a fourth to begin with, and then went a third. So yeah, I'm going to take the third, and then probably tell you to go kick rocks on the fourth and fifth.
But what do you think it would take?
Not much. I don't think Green Bay is that invested in Malik Willis. I mean, they've paid Jordan Love a boatload of cash. I can promise you they're going to draft a quarterback because that's what they do.
They do.
So I think they'll draft a quarterback, and they love trading their backup quarterbacks. They did it with Mark Brunell. They did it with Matt Hasselbeck. They did it with Matt Flynn was a free agent. But you get the general gist of where
they develop quarterbacks in Green Bay who go elsewhere and play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Most of the time. Now, they haven't done it in a minute. Scott Tolzien didn't turn out how they wanted him to. He's a really good coach, though.
So there's that. What do you think, folks? Would you think about him? I don't think he's what the Browns would probably want here. Because if they're going to draft a young guy, I don't think they would trade for another young guy. I do think that if they draft a young guy, they could sign another young guy as a free agent. But I don't think they would trade a draft choice for a young guy.
And I don't know if there's more in the tank with Malik Willis than the simplicity that they had him playing under. You know what I mean?
Well, that's what some team just might pay to find out. That's interesting. Jackson is in North Ridgeville. Jackson.
All right, Jackson.
How's it going?
Good.
Good, good. I just wanted to say, when you look at Malik Willis and stuff, you know, he's still young, but if you look around the league, I think, like, players like Jaden Daniels and C.J. Stroud have kind of raise the standards for rookie quarterbacks. And when you look for a rookie quarterback now, it's not like, oh, let's sit him for a couple of years, let him get, you know, develop, and then we'll start him. I think it's more like, let's draft him now and let's start winning football games right away. And I think that's what the Browns need to try to do. And whether that's taking a risk in the draft, I'd rather do that and have a chance at being good for a long time with the young player rather than have Malik Willis, who can maybe give us a couple of years, and then kind of go back to the same spot we're in right now.
Jackson, that's very sensible. I'm inclined to agree with you. I don't think this guy's the right fit here, but I do think that somebody might make a trade for him. The only way that he's the right fit here is if, again, and this is if the Browns decide they do not like anybody in this draft, and they can get this guy on the cheap and think that we can make this guy our starting quarterback. And that does not sound like a feasible plan to me.
I can see the path where you talk yourself into it, though, because maybe not the way that Jackson laid out by saying, hey, you know, these top tier quarterbacks, they come in and they play and all that kind of stuff. But more the idea of, like, maybe Malik Willis is the next Geno Smith. Maybe Malik Willis is the next Baker. Maybe Malik Willis is the next, you know, you know what I'm talking about, those veteran guys.
The guy who gets kicked down the road a couple of times and then figures it out.
And there's some level of talent that's there.
Sam Darnold.
But he needs to kind of have those moments and maybe be in that right situation with that right coach who's going to work with him and speak the same language.
Yep.
And maybe get him to understand it in a way that causes him to take the step forward. And so maybe Malik Willis is one of those guys, and maybe his time in Green Bay helps him out in that regard. I mean, they can develop a quarterback.
Gio's in Cleveland. Hi, Gio.
All right, Gio.
Hey guys. Big fan of what you do.
Thank you, man. That's really kind.
I guess, you know, here's my thought on this. And one, I would rather kick the tires on somebody like a Justin Fields or a Trey Lance, who I believe both had higher draft grades than Malik, and take a chance on that. But at the end of the day, we have to ask ourselves, when Kevin Stefanski was the OC in Minnesota, who was his quarterback?
Kirk Cousins.
Who was more like Kirk? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Case
Keenum.
Thank you.
When he was quarterback coach, it was Case Keenum.
Thank you, Jeff.
Case Keenum. So would we not both agree that all of these quarterbacks, Shedeur Sanders, maybe not so much Sanders, but Cam Ward, Justin Fields, Malik, Trey Lance, all of these guys do not fit what Kevin does. I got to go to the Stump Mitchell interview where he pointed out how Kevin was trying to fit a round peg in, or a square peg into a round hole when it came to Deshaun, when he should have just ran his offense. And the only time Kevin's offense reflected anything like Minnesota was with one guy in particular, which I know we don't want to bring back, which makes zero sense to me, is Joe Flacco. To me, Joe Flacco is the same quarterback as Kirk Cousins, Case Keenum. And then somewhat, when Baker Mayfield was making it work. I don't understand why we keep and have this fascination, especially here in Cleveland, with like these athletic quarterbacks, when at the end of the day, the guys that are winning, even Patrick Mahomes, even look at the last Super Bowl, Jalen Hurts, like they all have to read a defense and understand how coverages work. And that when you get to the NFL, everyone is somebody's All-American. That 6'5", 300-pound defensive tackle is running a 4.4 40. Like, all these athletic quarterbacks never translate. Malik never translated to the NFL, but he had this awesome draft grade. He was supposed to be. Same with Will Levis. Same with Trey Lance. Same with Justin Fields. All these guys that in college potentially that made plays with their feet get to the NFL and understand, oh, my God, I've got to get to the line and read a defense. I've got to understand an audible. I just don't understand. To me, that is Kevin Stefanski's defense to a T. Play action, get to the line, smart quarterback, read the defense, call off the play, audible out of it, and call the coverages. I don't understand why we keep trying to fit these square pegs into round holes. Like, let's get this athletic guy because our offensive line stinks and he can make some plays. That just doesn't exist. Unless you're Lamar Jackson or, you know, even Josh Allen to a degree. But
although, Gio, kind of the way the league's going, though, right?
I do agree with that. But I mean,
if you're Kevin, maybe you have to adapt a little bit more.
Well, look what Andy Reid did, though, right? Andy Reid had a guy by the name of Donovan McNabb. Would we not agree that Malik, Justin, Trey Lance, they're all more like Donovan McNabb, right? But then he got to Kansas City, and he had the
Donovan
same exact
could throw,
player.
Though. Donovan could throw.
That's what I'm saying. His offense fit, I guess what I'm saying, I'm sorry, Jeff, was his offense was more suited to Donovan McNabb than, would you say, Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes is just a freak. He's just a freak, but he also can read defenses. He also can read out of plays. I just, you know, Peyton Manning once famously said about a running quarterback, you know, to win a big game in this league, you're going to need two reads that make the difference in the game. That's 2 out of 50 throws. That you have to step to the line, make a read, and make a big play. Not with your legs. Now, granted, that happens, but I
agree with him, by the way. I think that's sharp.
Yeah, he's so I love what him and Tom Brady have to say about a lot of these young athletic quarterbacks. They're like, the only reason we were any good is because we didn't have a choice to be athletic. We had to read defenses.
Gio, good stuff.
Right? Well, we both agree that both Peyton and Tom Brady were not Lamar and Josh Allen. But still, I mean, listen, I think, in my opinion, this is just one guy's opinion. I think, please don't laugh at me. I think we draft a young guy either with a 33rd pick or in the third round, like a Jackson Dart, a Will Howard, somebody that
Jalen Milroe.
I'm just saying somebody that is your prototypical 6'3", 6'4", 6'5", quarterback that can read a defense that's been in big play situations, and we sign a guy that I know everybody's going to laugh, named Joe Flacco for 2 years. We give him 1 year with an option.
Gio, I don't know that Flacco has anything left.
All right.
And I say that because he was not what he was for the Browns, for the Colts.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Is that fair to say, Dano?
Yeah. He
had a few moments for Indy.
Had a couple moments that were there, but it was not the same thing.
It was not the same guy.
It was, yeah, it very much felt like lightning in a bottle. This is the last thing. All right, so Patrick Mahomes, because everyone loves to throw this out and everyone loves to talk about it. People forget, one, Patrick Mahomes sat for a year. The second thing that people forget about Patrick Mahomes is that when he came into the league and was that original Chiefs offense, was bombs away. It really was. It was Tyreek Hill, go as deep as you can. You can't run fast enough to overthrow this guy's arm.
Yeah.
It was.
You had that weapon, though.
It was Travis Kelce. It was all of these things that came with it. And what happened is as time went on, Patrick Mahomes learned how to read a defense and learned how to take what a defense gave him and check down and do all of these different things. There has been an evolution with Patrick Mahomes that a lot of people have forgotten about, to where now he has become, not as much in that same vein, but has become a quarterback that is similar to what we've seen of Tom Brady. It's similar to what we've seen out of Peyton Manning, and less
with
the
more
guy
with more mobility.
With more mobility, yeah. Yes, but less of the guy who is just, you know, drop back
just
and bombs away. Let's go. You can't run fast enough. Mecole Hardman, keep running. You're not going to outrun my arm. Like that guy now has evolved into the guy in front of you. And the whole point of that diatribe is just to say there's an evolution that takes place with quarterbacks, and these guys have to get better and add something to their game every single year. It's not just grab guy, drop guy in, and hope guy does best. That's my fear when it comes to this draft and going at number two and going grab guy, drop guy in, guy does best, and all of a sudden everything is solved and fixed. I just don't see it that way, and I don't see that as the best way to nurture a quarterback. Do you think that same way, or am I nuts?
No, I don't think you're nuts. I think you're.
I mean, I am nuts, but not in this regard.
Not in this regard. I would agree with that. John is in Willoughby. Hello, John.
Hey guys, thanks for taking the call.
You got it.
I'm agreeing with you totally. We watched the Super Bowl. We watched how the Eagles were put together as a team. It starts with the trenches, the defensive fronts, the players you draft around the quarterback. Jalen Hurts, if I remember correctly, third, fourth round pick. You have to develop a team that then you can place a quarterback into that can have success. I heard some callers today talk about, let's draft a guy early and put him in this thing, start trying to win games now. heck, with the way Miles' whole agenda is going, we might have to ship him out of here, load up on picks, and build this team so maybe next year or a late-round pick this year, a Will Howard, can come and blossom into a team that is ready to win. I just don't think that this whole win now with a rookie quarterback is possible. The second point I kind of wanted to parlay into, we were talking about running quarterbacks and their effectiveness, and this all kind of started, I'm thinking back to 2012 RG3, when he started popping off runs with Washington. That only happened because they had a really strong run game and a play-action passing game to counter that, and then his big runs were sprinkled into the algorithm of that offense. But it took, you know, you can't be a focused running quarterback team. It just doesn't work in the NFL.
You're right. Clinton Portis was a beast, and a lot of people have forgotten that. Clinton Portis was really good.
Both in Alfred Washington Morris and Denver.
You're right. Alfred Morris as well.
So I'm just thinking about this from a top down. You know, Jalen Hurts obviously is an effective runner, but they got there with the run game through the running back. They didn't lean on him to be a runner. So to me, it's like when you're looking for a quarterback, intangibles, a guy you can count on, a guy who will be there for a decade and do the right things. And when it comes to athletic ability, we've seen now it's not the X factor. It really isn't. So I'm curious what you guys think about, you know, Malik Willis, super athlete,
Willis.
But, or yeah, Malik Willis, correct. Super athlete, but he just, you know, can he have the mental processing power to get through and play well in the AFC North? That's a hard one to sell me.
John, thank you very much. Appreciate the phone call. And that's, you know, that's why he wasn't in Tennessee anymore. They decided this isn't working.
Decided that, but a guy that put mayonnaise in his coffee is a better option.
But Green Bay did better things. That's not a nice thing to say about Will Levis.
That's a truthful statement.
I know. Green Bay did better things with Malik Willis than Tennessee did. It's interesting.
He made money because of his ability to put mayonnaise in coffee.
Would you trade for a guy and take a chance? I don't think I would. 216-474-0092. It's Baskin and Phelps right here on The Fan.